Welcome back to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by SBK. I'm Dave Clark, he is Steve Palmer, and the dust is beginning to settle on what was a huge weekend of golf. Steve, how are you?
Good morning, Dave. Nice to see you. Yeah, that's five golf tournaments in a row now with an impossible-to-find winner, in my humble opinion. So, yeah, it's been a difficult fortnight for the golf punting community, but we live, we learn. And if you take betting out of it, Dave, which we're always loath to do because we're obsessed with betting, if you take betting out of it, it's a heartwarming story, isn't it? I mean, Aaron Rye, clearly one of the nicest blokes on the golf tours. You know, a great result for the human race, Dave. Let's be positive.
Yeah, we'll get onto all of that. Wolverhampton bomb. But I see you're rocking the three lions. Is that a tribute to an Englishman?
It's a tribute to Aaron Rye, Dave, who became the first USPGA champion from these shores since 1919. You might remember Big Jim Barnes. Big Jim Barnes got the job done in 1919. And, so, yeah, I mean, when you think about all the great English golfers there's been, you know, since Jim Barnes, you know, Nick Faldo, you know, Luke Donald, you know, world number one, Justin Rose has won majors. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable that it's gone that long. It was 107 years since we last had an English USPGA champion. So, yeah, I thought Aaron deserved it.
Three lines on a shirt and all of that. Right, you're here, of course, on the Racing Post YouTube channel, joining us, as ever, every Tuesday for The Sweet Spot. So do get involved, like, comment and subscribe. We'll pore over the comments, good and bad, as we'd like to hear from you. Listen, get in touch if you did find the winner last week. I think 150-1 in a place, Aaron Rye. We're, of course, here with our friends at SBK as well. Jump onto their website, Bet SBK. There is a £60 free bets new customer concession there. A referred customer must bet £20 to get £20 in free bet, in addition to the welcome offer of £40. So £60 in total free bets. Two free £10 golf bets will be credited after the first qualifying bet. All the terms and conditions are on the website. Make sure you jump onto there. BetSBK.com. 18 plus terms and conditions. Gamble aware. Right, let's get into it then, Steve. 150-1 winner, Aaron Rye, 9-under par, beating John Rahm, Smalley, Thomas, Åberg, Schmidt. They were stacking up in behind. Just do this for me quickly before we get into it, because we want to, you know, it's a massive talking point. Just do that for me, Steve.
Oh, yeah, I've only got one glove on.
You've only got the one on.
Yeah, I've only got the one, not for
golf
chat. Purposes.
Let's start with glove chat. Is it a first major winner wearing two gloves? Surely.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Tommy Two Gloves, Tommy Gainey used to be the other one, and he certainly hasn't won a major. Yeah, I mean, he's just got these habits from a young age that he's stuck with, and wearing two gloves is one of them. Yeah, it does give you improved grip and in bad weather. I don't play golf anymore due to various health issues, but in the good old days, I didn't mind a wet weather glove, Dave. I did switch to a black wet weather glove during rainy periods. Yeah, it can work, but every other player in the field didn't need one last week. The sun was shining in Pennsylvania for the most part, but Aaron Rye, I mean, does things his own way.
Yeah,
but you got to doff your cap to this fella. Yeah, as you say, 150-1, but finished the tournament like a short price favourite, didn't he? I mean, 6-under par for the final 10 holes. His hero growing up was Tiger Woods. He produced a Tiger-style finish to that tournament. Yeah, the putt at the 17th was comically good, wasn't it? A 68-foot putt at the 17th. Yeah, it must have reminded you, Dave, of J.J. Spawn last year. When J.J. Spawn won the US Open, he held that similar length putt. And these two, you know, similar journeys, 30-somethings, journeyman golfers, realising their dream of becoming a major champion. And you know, I've been guilty of underestimating Aaron Rye in the past. I've been guilty of disrespecting Aaron Rye in the past, and I apologise for that. I didn't think he had major wins in him, Dave, but I'm delighted to be proved wrong, because, you know, this is clearly a thoroughly decent man who works harder than anyone else on the tour, by all accounts. Yes, several players have come out and said this. Yeah, this is such a hard-working golfer. And I've heard that in his practice rounds, you know, nine holes in his practice rounds can take like 3 hours, because he's he chips and putts from different angles, Dave. You know, really meticulous. You know, nobody prepares for tournaments better than Aaron Rye. And you know, I think this is a more of a human interest story than anything else, because this is a classic example of a man who's got where he is now through work ethic, Dave. Work ethic, you know, discipline. You know, from a very early age, look at his backstory, Dave. Hard work has got him here. And when he first started out in the game, he started playing when he was 4 years old. And through all those early years, he couldn't hit it very far, Dave. He's a bit like you. He's a very, very short hitter.
I think he hits it a bit further than I do. But yeah, we were looking at for a bit of length off the tee to fly the trouble. And this win even more impressive.
Yeah. We'll come to that, Dave. But I just think it's very important to respect the journey that Aaron Rye's been on, because he didn't start playing in club events until he was 14 years old. I found out this week, because he couldn't hit it very far. Like he was playing from the junior tees for a long time, and then he progressed to the ladies tees, and he was on the ladies tees for a long time. His dad didn't let him enter the club events until he was 14, because it would have been demoralizing for him, because he couldn't hit it very far. Like, it's been a real struggle for him to get the ball far enough off the tee to become a competitive golfer. And yeah, you know, I think it's a remarkable journey he's been on. And he won three times on the Challenge Tour in 2017. Then he made his DP World Tour breakthrough on the shortest course on the circuit in the Hong Kong Open. Then he made his PGA Tour breakthrough on one of the shortest courses they use, the Wyndham Championship. But now, you know, he must be feeling unbelievably good now, because now he's winning on big, big, long courses. Yeah, he won in Abu Dhabi. That was a surprise win in the Abu Dhabi Championship. Now he's won at Aronimink. Yeah, I will doff caps. I'm actually wearing a cap today due to the issues in my house. It's been a very hectic morning, lots of illness in the camp, but I will doff my cap. Doff. I got into trouble for using doff the other day. Doff. I will doff my cap to Aaron Rye.
Okay, listen, highlights. Bunker shot on 13, approach on 16, and you mentioned that putt on 17. For a guy that's never won a major, in fact, never had a top 10 finish in a major, as you quite rightly say, he finished it off like he was just winning another golf tournament.
Yeah, you're right. The bunker shot, I'm glad you identified that. That was incredibly good. So, you know, he's so easy in that position to just play a safe one short, and he went for it, and he just impressed me. All the way to the end on a course which didn't suit his game in theory. I mean, me and Rory McIlroy was in illustrious company last week, Dave, because me and Rory McIlroy massively misjudged the course, because Rory McIlroy in his pre-tournament media conference was saying, oh, this is a bomb and gouge track, and you know, all guns blazing. And yeah, I thought that tactic would work. Rory McIlroy adopted that tactic. I mean, he just could not find a fairway, made it really difficult for him. He needed to do a lot of gouging, but it didn't turn out that way. I mean, there was less pre-tournament rain than was forecast. I mean, the course got firm and fast really quickly because no rain came, and it became like a chess match, didn't it, Dave? Like,
yeah, good. Listen, all these crybabies talking to the press afterwards about how difficult it is. It's a major.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Patrick Cantlay said this very well during a tournament once. You know, they're pampered. I won't swear because I'll get in trouble with producer Bell, but yeah, pampered PR, etc. I think you're right. There was a lot of moaning going on. Yeah, the two best players in the world were moaning. I mean, this became a game of chess, and Aaron Rye is the ideal player for a game of chess because he's so disciplined. I mean, it was all about just finding the fairways, because you couldn't hold these greens from the rough because they're so slopy and. Yeah, to get close to these pins, the PGA of America tucked these pins away, didn't they? And to get close to those pins, it was almost impossible from the rough. So it didn't turn into the bomb and gouge that I was expecting. But Aaron Rye, you know, he found virtually every fairway, didn't he? You know, supremely accurate. His approach play was really, really solid. I hardly put a foot wrong, you know, working the ball in. I was so impressed with the approach play, and he putted better than I've ever seen Aaron Rye putt. You know, putting traditionally a weakness. His putting was amazing last week, wasn't it, Dave? You know, and strong lag putting became the most important ingredient, certainly over the weekend, just because you had to go for the fat of the green because they were so hard to get to these pin positions. Nobody could get close. So then it's all about lag putting. And I just thought,
Par was a good score in a lot of holes because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Aaron Rye's lag putting was unbelievably good. I couldn't be more pleased for the man, because, as I say, this is quite an inspirational story, or a very inspirational story about work ethic. You know, I try and drill this into my son, because, you know, Aaron Rye, when he was growing up, you know, looked after his clubs. That's why he has iron covers on his.
Yeah, he's got iron covers because
he was so happy to have some golf clubs, and he really respected his golf clubs. You know, cleaned them after every round, looking after them, and. Yeah, when I see Tommy Tiger throwing clubs around with total lack of respect for his weapons, I need to show him the Aaron Rye story and show, look, if you have work ethic, if you have discipline, if you look after your tools, a good workman looks after their tools, Dave, then you can reach the pinnacle of the game. You know, this is a lad who couldn't hit it. Yeah, he probably, yeah, Tommy Tiger probably hits it miles further than Aaron Rye did at this age. That was his big problem. He couldn't hit it very far. But he's got bigger, he's got stronger. You look at him in his media conference afterwards, he's ripped now, isn't he? He's become Tiger Woods. He could probably beat Tiger Woods in an arm wrestle now if he wanted to. So, inspirational story, major champion at 31 years of age.
Right. He was the winner, of course, with his two gloves. What about the others then? John Rahm. Good showing from John Rahm.
Yeah, played really well. I mean, it was a fascinating tale for John Rahm, because early on, the pressure was clearly getting to him. Obviously, he had that terrible first round of the Masters. He looked tense as anything in the first round. He's two over par through 10 holes, and then he holed out from the fairway for eagle at his 11th hole. Then he chipped in for a birdie at the 17th, his 17th hole. So, yeah, that seemed to just lift the weight of his shoulders. Once he got away with that first round, he rode his luck in the first round. It got off to a good start. And then for the final three rounds, he's much more relaxed. He was hitting it amazingly well. Yeah, he was only a few... Yeah, his putting wasn't particularly good. He didn't seem to get the pace of the greens. But yeah, I was impressed with John Rahm, and I think he'll take a lot from that. As will Justin Thomas, who was just behind him. You like Justin Thomas, don't you, Dave?
Big fan. Listen, he's got a good record in this tournament. So it's a good showing for him. But he looks
two-time champion.
Like a force again.
Well, it's hugely encouraging, because when you come back from these surgeries, he's just come back, you know, from back surgery. Yeah, that you wonder how long it's going to take. It can take ages. You have a little devil on your shoulder, Dave, saying you may never recover from this. I remember when I had cruciate ligament surgery on my knee, I thought, I may never recover from this. I may never play for England. And I was right. But, I think Justin Thomas can take a lot of heart from that. You know, his approach play was great last week. His traditional strength, his putting was amazing. Did you see how many putts he was holding? When Justin Thomas is putting well, you watch out, Dave. I'm really encouraged.
Well, this looks like this week is going to be a putting contest. So, encouraging signs, but we'll get onto that.
Yeah, and certainly no encouraging signs on Ludwig Aubert's putting. I mean, we said last week we just need a warming of the putter for him to win this USPGA Championship, and it actually got colder.
On Sunday, it was still, for me, it was still wide open, and I messaged you saying, who's actually going to win this golf tournament? You kept the faith.
Yeah, obviously I found it an offensive text message given Ludwig Aubert's in the heat of battle. I refer the honourable gentleman to the reply I gave several moments ago.
Ludwig Aubert.
I mean, he tied fourth. We got full place money from the number one pick. We can't beat ourselves up too much, but this putting is obviously so frustrating. I couldn't believe the putter got colder than how it had been. And nobody hit the ball better, Dave. You know, his ball striking was phenomenally good. He got off to a slow start. It was a poor first round. It was a brilliant second round. And then, I was confident over the weekend, Dave. No matter who was texting me, it was Ludwig Aubert. But then there was that little three-hole spell on Saturday, which was a real win from sales job. He missed a short birdie putt at 11, three-putted from 15 feet at 12, nearly made a bogey at the drivable 13th, the drivable par 4 13th. So it was a three-hole wobble on Saturday. But then he's cruising again on Sunday. But he made four bogeys. He had four bogeys on Sunday.
Yeah, which sort of coincided with me texting you. So I resisted replying, saying, how about now? I'll let you be. So
He missed a three-footer. He just missed a three-footer. Yeah, I think you texted as the three-footer was being missed. And I just because of the way I am, I just still kept faith with Ludwig Aubert. He's missing three-footers, but he's still going to win this. I think he'll win majors, Dave. I still think he'll win majors.
Yeah,
for
sure.
He just needs to get this putting sorted. Maybe he needs a new putting coach.
Right, two players that have won majors, Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy. What did you make of them?
Rory McIlroy, I mean, the bomb and gouge tactics were disastrous in round one. He finished with four consecutive bogeys. It's the first time that's ever happened in a major in his entire career. But over the final three rounds, he gave it a bloody good go, didn't he, if you pardon my French. Harvey found a fairway all week. Messed up the par fives. He was level par on the par fives, which says a lot. But putted
really
well. Yeah,
whereas Aaron Rye was like six under for the par fives on the week. So there's a difference right away.
It's hard to get your head around, isn't it, Dave? But he putted well, and he just needs to straighten out his driving. His driving has not been of good Rory McIlroy standard this season.
Yeah.
Didn't stop him winning the Masters. Yeah, I wouldn't be overly concerned. I think McIlroy will, still in great shape for the rest of the summer. Who was the other one? Scheffler. Oh, Scheffler. Yeah, tied 14th. Glad we avoided the favourite there. Yeah, no, not even a place return for favourite backers. Yeah, great ball striking performance. He was flushing it for the most part. Driver and irons working well. Approach play was really solid, but the short game performance was terrible. He's one of the few players in the field who putted worse than Ludwig Aubert. Scheffler putted worse than Ludwig Aubert, which is saying something. He's been in dismal form with the putter lately, but it must be said, they've been on unfamiliar greens, Dave. You know, he didn't know the Doral greens and putted poorly there. Didn't know the greens last week, putted poorly there. This week, he's back in his home state for the Byron Nelson. He putted amazingly well in the Byron Nelson last year. So, he'll have high hopes of holding more putts this week, that's for sure.
Right, anything else to add, Steve? What else you got?
Well, I mean, Chris Gotterup deserves a mention because that Friday round was in the toughest conditions of the week.
You've got some place money, right?
Yeah. You got some place. He tied 10th with three others. So you get a return. Yeah, most punters would have got a return there. But that 65 on Friday was in the toughest conditions of the week. It was a magnificent round. I think it shows you that Chris Gotterup can win major championships. I don't regret putting him up. On Sunday, made 17 pars and a birdie. It was the back nine on Saturday, which hindered his chances of winning the Wanamaker Trophy. Just got a bit too aggressive with a couple of approaches on Saturday. Three over par for that back nine on Saturday. I'm a big fan of Gotterup. I just think he'll learn lessons from that. And just be a little bit more cautious on approach at difficult pins. I think the future's bright for Gotterup. Xander Schauffele started putting well last week. Dave, you probably noticed that. But his iron play was really poor. His chipping is just in a real significant slump.
Uncharacteristically, yeah.
Yeah, finished seventh. Finished tied seventh. So the Majors Acca, unfortunately, the place has gone down. We needed a top five. Needed a top five to keep that going. So the Majors Acca will start again in 2027 on that. And then finally, Dave, I know you're keen to get onto the action because you love your punting.
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Yeah.
Gamble responsibly. Gamble aware. Blah, 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 blah. Bryson DeChambeau. What did you back him in the end? I mean, you have to discuss.
No.
Bryson. I mean, I'm glad you didn't back him. Missed the cut by three shots.
I tell you who I backed. I backed Neiman, actually, who I thought was going to get me some place money at some point.
Should have backed him for top South American. That got the job done. He's one of the few bright spots of a challenging week.
Yeah, let's get back to Beefy Bryson.
Beefy Bryson. I didn't trust him last week. I don't trust him. I don't know when I'm going to trust him again. His iron play was disgusting, Dave. His chipping was repulsive.
These are
strong words, but they need to be said. The chipping with those massive, obviously all his clubs, all his irons are the same length. When he's chipping away with these massive clubs, it just looks like an absolute caveman. I mean, you just wonder how he's won anything. He's the only player that obviously has those clubs. Like, why has nobody else got them? Probably because it's not a good idea. I'm just really having a really good thing about Bryson DeChambeau, Dave.
He's got stuff going on as well, right?
He's got a lot. He's obviously got loads going on in his head. He's always, there's a lot coming out of his mouth at all times, and there's a lot going on in his head. So there's a lot going on in this area.
He needs Donald J. Trump on his bag, I think. That'll settle him down.
Yeah, that might work. I mean, live golf career next week. So it'd be a bit of a gamble to send the American president that close to North Korea, but they're in South Korea next week. So live golf career next week. I just want to see a more humble Bryson, Dave. I mean, I thought the USPGA Championship provided a classic contrast because you had the humble, unassuming, modest champion in Aaron Rye. And then you had the fella missing the cut, this brash, cocky character missing the cut. I think the USPGA was a victory for humanity because Bryson needs to humble up. He's been out there saying, oh, the PGA Tour need me. He expects the PGA Tour to be begging him to come back. the PGA Tour don't need anyone. You know, nobody's bigger than the PGA Tour. Bryson needs to understand that. I think he needs to be more humble. So we'll see how he goes in LIV Golf career next week.
Okay. I won't be backing him anytime soon. Anyway, let's put it that way. You know, that LIV market is going to look the same as it always looks. And yeah, you'd be wanting to back John Rahm, you know, every day of the week, twice on a Sunday before you start backing Bryson DeChambeau.
Absolutely, absolutely. Nobody's bigger than the tour. Nobody's bigger than the club, Dave. You know, you see some West Ham players think they're bigger than the club. Nobody's bigger than the club.
Just over 20 minutes and you've already gone there.
I saw an angle in. Well done, Spurs. I think Spurs are staying up.
Should we move on?
Let's move on.
Right, two tournaments to preview this week, the Sudo Open and the Byron Nelson. Before we get to that, I'll tell you that SBK will be doing a 20% winnings boost on both the Sudo Open and the CJ Cup Byron Nelson. So if you're following Stephen, which you should be, or making your own plays and own picks, you'll get a 20% winning bonus should you find the winner of either golf tournament with SBK. Jump onto the website, betsbk.com. All the information is on there, but 20% on top. Right, we're going to go chronological order, as we always do. The Sudal Open. My limited research on this, previously the Belgian Open, previously stroke play, match play, now just the normal tournament. Where are we, Steve? Short course with small greens.
Yes, Rinkfen International Golf Club, Antwerp, Belgium, 6,940 yards, par 71, only two par fives. The DP World Tour returned to Belgium after an 18-year absence with the inaugural Belgian knockout in 2018. That was a stroke play event for two rounds, then you had a series of nine-hole matches after that. So Rinkfen back on our radar in 2018, then you had another Belgian knockout in 2019. Then there was a little break, and then the tournament returned as a 72-hole stroke play event in 2022. So the course has got a succession of short par fours, tight, tree-lined. You have to support accurate players, Dave. Sunny and calm weather for the competition days. A field of 156 going to post. Place your bets by 6 a.m. UK time on Thursday.
6 a.m. on Thursday. So we're going with accuracy over everything else.
Absolutely. Short, tight track. There's a bit of pre-tournament rain, but it won't change the dimensions too much yet. Yeah, you have to support accurate drivers in particular.
Okay, right. Market here. Leaders, Thomas Dietrich, around about 12-1. Daniel Hillier, Jaden Shaper, Ballestart, Ferguson, Lindell, Casey Jarvis, quite a few of your old mates on there. I'm eyeing up Wenyi Ding, so I'm really hoping that he's in your team this week. But we all will be revealed. How many selections?
Two, Dave. Two.
Okay, just two selections.
So when you ding's eyeing you up, Dave, it could be a match made in heaven.
Okay. Right then, Sudo Open. Who is the play to win this golf tournament?
Eddie Pepperell, a two-time DP World Tour champion who is getting his act together again. He's one of the best players in this field on his best form. A former world number 32. He finished sixth in the 2018 Open Championship at Carnoustie, third in the 2019 Players' Championship at Sawgrass. His two DP World Tour wins were in much better tournaments than this one, Qatar Masters, British Masters. I think he's going to complete a DP World Tour hat-trick this week at the age of 35. His resurgence recently started at the DP World Tour qualifying school at the end of last year. He was in a bit of trouble there, birdied the final four holes of Q school to finish 12th. The top 20 get tour cards. A closing 64 for 5th place in the South African Open in March. Hugely encouraging. 9th place in the Haining Classic followed. 29th in Turkey. 17th in Catalunya last time out. His poor start in Catalunya, Dave, was down to complacency. He described his range session before going out for the Catalunya Championship as the best he's ever had. Absolutely flushing it on the range. He said there was a tension between him and his caddy because, yeah, this was so amazing what he was producing on the range there. His caddy, Mick Doran, was playing in his final DP World Tour. He's retired. So it looked like a big, big moment was coming for the pair of them when they were stunned when Pepperell was two over par through six holes. Yeah, it's that classic thing. Like, if you have a range session that's too good, you might have seen this yourself, Dave.
I've not had many good range sessions.
I've not had any good range sessions, but they always say if you hit it too well on the range, you never produce on the course. But so the point is, Pepperell, technique-wise, has got his game exactly where he wants it. He's really excited about how well he's hitting it. And the Soudal Open, for me, looks an ideal track for him to use this good form that's inside him. Tight, tree-lined, a bit like Wentworth, where Pepperell first made a name for himself. You might remember... Might remember the 2013 BMW PGA Championship day. Testing your memory, 13 years ago. But Pepperell finished sixth in the 2013 BMW PGA, burst onto the scene. Yeah, Wentworth and Rinkman, there's similarities. You can plot your way along. You know, Pepperell loves getting his 3-wood out. He doesn't like getting the driver out. You can hit 3-wood on every single hole this week if he wants to, all the pars, fours and fives. He closed with a 67 for 22nd place in 2023. He's never arrived at the track in better form than he's got now. So I think Pepperell is by far the standout value option in this field.
Yeah, it's sort of almost 50 to 1, most firms, 45 to 1 generally. Big, big price. Some fall off from him though, Steve. You mentioned having to go through Q school. What was that down to, sort of that regression? Where's he been? Yeah.
Took his eye off the ball a little bit, didn't he? I mean, you know, Pepperell's a very engaging character, very interesting character, and, you know, he took his eye off the ball, and he's got his own podcast. There's a few other things he was concentrating on, but obviously he's got his focus back now. You can see he's got his focus back. He's hitting it well again. He's hitting his hunger back. He's very emotional after getting his card back at Q School there, and I think that's said a lot. You know, he's still a relatively young man, 35 years of age. Doesn't want to waste his life doing podcasts and roving reporter roles or whatever. Yeah, he's got plenty of things he could be doing, but he's good enough to be a very successful DP World Tour golfer. And as I say, you might remember that 2019 Sawgrass event. He nearly won the Players' Championship, one of the biggest events in golf. So, class act in a weak field.
Okay, right. Hearing your reasoning for that, I've got a feeling you might be tipping Rafa Cabrera Bello, but then we'll get to that. We've only got one other selection, Steve. So who is it?
Darius Vandreul. Another short but accurate driver. Another player who licks his lips when he turns up at Rinkman. A year older than Pepperell. A two-time winner on the Challenge Tour. His lone DP World Tour triumph came in the 2024 Kenya Open on a supreme test of accuracy. His suitability to Rinkman is unquestioned. Vandreul finished runner-up on his course debut in the 2019 Belgian knockout. He was beaten by Guido Migliozzi in the final. He was world number 434 at the time, Dave. Then last year, having arrived at Rinkman with form figures of miscut, 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 65, miscut, miscut from his previous six tournaments, how do you think he's going to get on though? I'll tell you how he's going to get on. He lost a playoff. He ended up getting in a playoff despite those form figures. That just shows you how much he loves this test. He turns up bereft of confidence, back into Soudal Open, tickling it along, accuracy fully rewarded, and tied second. So, Vandreul has to be backed on this course. Yeah, regardless of how he's playing in the build-up, he's been effective here. But this time, loads of bright recent form. 18th in India at the end of March, 8th in China, 4th in Turkey. Never got going in Catalonia last time out. But for me, Pepperell and Vandreul, by far the two best value options. Neither of them played in yesterday's 36-hole US Open qualified, Dave. You mentioned Rafa Cabrera Bello. He played in that. There's a lot of players that are on the shortlist, but I don't like the players. I do not like the players that play 36 holes on a Monday, in a US Open qualifier.
Where was that, Steve, as well?
In Surrey, Walton Heath, Surrey. So
yeah,
you got that, and then you got to travel all the way over to Belgium. It's just not ideal, is it?
Have we got a list of the players that took part that are in this event?
Yeah, it's a long list, Dave. We'd have to extend the broadcast.
What about the notable ones at the top of the market?
Well, the notable one is the favourite, Dave. The favourite. Right, okay. Thomas Dietrich is your favourite this week. I mentioned a quick stat before I get on to how he played yesterday. There's been 19 European Tour events staged in Belgium. None of them have been won by a Belgian. Not even the great Thomas Peters could manage to achieve. Not even Thomas Peters could win a DP World Tour event in Belgium. So the Belgians have been buckling under the pressure. You got a Belgian as favourite here, Thomas Dietrich. Missed the cut by a shot in the USPGA. I was surprised by that because he's been playing well on LIV. Yeah, really disappointing last week. But then he went to the US Open qualifier at Walton Heath yesterday and he missed out in a playoff for the final spot. So there are only seven players that that can get through the qualifier.
So he's played well, but heartbreak. Yeah,
he's played extra holes. He's played extra holes. He's played 36, and then he's had a 4-man playoff, and he's had heartbreak. I think Hugo Casal won that playoff. So, you know, far from ideal preparation for the favourite. Yeah, I ruled out anyone who played at Walton Heath in that qualifier. Yeah, 36 holes on a Monday, then got to get to Belgium. Yeah, they might not feel it initially, but by Sunday, if they're in contention, they could hit a wall.
Yeah, great point. Right, that's Dietrich. Daniel Hillier.
Oh, very, very impressive USPGA effort. Finished level par in the USPGA. He'll take a lot from that because his form on the DP World Tour late has been very, very patchy. But this is not a course to be backing Daniel Hillier. A long, powerful, aggressive player. His main weapon's taken out of play here.
Right, a couple of your mates are up there. Jaden Schaper, Casey Jarvis. Was you tempted by either of those?
Schaper missed the cut in the USPGA last week. Hasn't made a very impressive return to action since a long break. Casey Jarvis did me a favour in the final round two balls on Sunday. Played really well on Sunday in the USPGA. Casey Jarvis to take a lot from that. But again, I don't think this pseudo-open venue is ideal for him. So, no, very happy with my two. And only having two in the pseudo means I can have six in the Byron Nelson. Okay, I've got eight tips across two tournaments.
Okay, two and a six then, 12 each way doubles. So there was no one who was close to the list? You know, people like to know, is there anyone that you nearly tipped?
No, there wasn't, Dave. There wasn't. As I say, like it was just two outstanding candidates for me who did not play in that Walton Heath qualifier.
Okay, right. And plenty of work's gone in, right? Because you're dodging the Lurgy indoors at the moment. So just living in the shed? What's going on?
I'm living in the shed, yeah. The three members of my family are ill. My daughter fell ill, and then my wife fell ill, and then my son's been really ill. So, the one advantage of working 16-hour shifts in the work shed is that you're in quarantine. I'm the only one who hasn't got ill yet, but it's been very, very challenging.
Okay, right. Should we move on then to the PGA Tour event?
Yes, sir.
Byron Nelson, formerly known as the Dallas Open, Scottie Scheffler, defending champion, is in the field. I'm just going to ask you very simply, Steve, is this just going to be a putting contest, this one? Like, it looks quite easy to track in. There's already talks of rounds in the 50s.
Yeah, traditionally, you need to putt well here. We've got some course changes to discuss, which will make it a little bit tougher.
Okay, right. Well, tell us where we're at then. Where are we up to?
TPC Craig Ranch, McKinney, Texas, 7,385 yards now. Par 71, three par fives. Hosted the Byron Nelson for the first time in 2021. So 5 years of course form for punters to digest. But Lanny Watkins has renovated the course since last year's event. It needed toughening up because, as you say, Scottie Scheffler, 31 under par. 31 under par last year. So the PGA Tour a bit embarrassed by that. So it's been toughened up. We've got thicker rough, faster greens. But I still think, really straightforward track. And we got some pre-tournament showers coming. More showers on Thursday. So soft turf, calm skies. I think we'll still see plenty of birdies. A field of 147 going to post. Place your bets by 12:45 PM UK time on Thursday.
Okay, give us what you think the winning score is going to be.
Oh my gosh, that's so challenging on a new course.
It's not going to be 31 under par, is it?
High teens under par, though. I still think it'll be high teens under par. Maybe someone will get to 20.
Okay, right. As I mentioned, Scottie Scheffler won this last year. Taylor Penrith, 24, Jason Day, and then twice a winner, Kyung-Hoon Lee, 2022-2021. Steve has mentioned that he's got six selections for this one. So strap yourselves in. Hopefully some big prices in here, Steve, if you're putting up six. Who is the main selection then? It is about 7-4 the field here with Scottie Scheffler ahead in the market. I'm assuming he's not one of the six. So no. Who's the main play?
No, we'll come to him. I mean, he's going off at Greyhound favourite prices this week. Yeah. I just cannot get involved. Jordan Spieth. I'm giving him one last chance to show me. This party is not over, Dave. One of the most entertaining players in modern golfing history, I'm sure you'd agree. The boy wonder. He won three major titles really quickly, the 2015 Masters, the 2015 US Open, the 2017 Open Championship. A modern-day Seve Ballesteros, a magician always pulling rabbits out of the hat. Life as an older man has not been as successful, though. He's a father of three. Marrying family life with pro golfer life has been difficult for Spieth. He's had injury problems, too. He's winless since the 2022 heritage. But now the fitness issues are behind him, Dave. He's fully fit for the first time in ages. He's been putting his game back together. I've been saying for a while, Dave, he's close. He's so close, Dave. My God, he's close. He says it himself. There's been so much good stuff this season. You have one little spell of calamity that seems to be costing him winning tournaments. Yeah, he'll have one poor round out of four. Have you noticed how many times that's been happening? One department of his game will let him down while the rest of it's absolutely sparkling. It's been so frustrating. Can he put all departments together this week? Can he string four rounds together in succession? I think Craig Ranch is an ideal tournament for him. He won the 2016 Colonial in Texas. He won the 2021 Texas Open. So he's going for a hat-trick of home state victories this week. The Byron Nelson is one of the most important events on the calendar for him. Most players after a major might be taking their foot off the gas a little bit. You won't get that from Spieth. He lives half hour down the road, Dave. He lives in Dallas. He lives close to this course. He's desperate to end this victory drought. He finished ninth in the 2021 Byron Nelson at Craig Ranch, second in 2022, fourth last year, gaining strokes in every department this season, Dave. Driving it long way. He's posted six top 20s on the PGA Tour this year. Two of them have been in majors. He closed with a 68 in the USPGA on Sunday. So I think the time has come, Dave. Spieth be with you.
Okay, listen, there's a barrage of information there for me to try and process. When was the last time he won a golf tournament?
2022, April, Heritage.
Right.
But, yeah, a lot of injury issues, a lot of babies.
Quite emotional scenes when he wins a golf. He will win another golf tournament.
I think you're right, Dave. I think he will win another golf tournament. I think the first one will come in Texas. And, he's playing for a fourth consecutive week. Yeah, the swing is grooved in. There's a lot to like about Spieth this week. And, we're not getting a bargain price. The bookmakers are aware that, I think he's by far the most likely player to beat Scheffler. Yeah, right. Scheffler's going out greyhound prices. Siwoo Kim is sandwiched between the two of them in the bet. And I definitely have Spieth second favourite.
Okay, yeah, Scottie Scheffler, round about 7-4. Siwoo Kim, 12-1. Jordan Spieth is 14s. And then we've got a break to Brooks Koepka, who's a 22-1 chance. Right, so Spieth, the main play. Five more to come. Obviously, the prices get bigger. Who's the next best?
Pearson Coody, another proud Texan. Pumped to the nines for the Byron Nelson. Finally did himself justice in the Byron Nelson last year. Weekend rounds of 66-67. For 25th place. He was battling to stay in the world's top 200 back then. Just 3 months ago, Dave, he teed off in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am as world number 44. That shows you how well he's been playing since the last Byron Nelson. He proved too good for the Korn Ferry Tour. Now he's back on the PGA Tour, stalking a maiden victory. He's from Plano, Dave. Don't know if you've ever been to Plano. 15 minute drive from McKinney. So very comfortable in this part of the world. He'll have huge local support. He's a University of Texas alumni. So all his University of Texas buddies will be cheering him on this week. He lost a playoff for the 2024 ISCO Championship, you might remember. I remember it extremely well. It was late night heartache. We were on Coody at big prices. Harry Hall chipped in to win that playoff. I've always thought Coody was good enough to win on the PGA Tour. Three-time champion on the Korn Ferry Tour. The toughening up of Craig Ranch, which I mentioned, which will help him. Coody is one of the best drivers on the PGA Tour, Dave. Long and straight. He was second in the Farmers Insurance Open in February. So I think you're getting the mix again. So yeah, Texan 1-2 for me.
What did you make of him last week? I had a bit of shrapnel on him each way last week.
Did you? Yes, it's not easy for him in major combat. And the weekend off will do him good. Yeah, I like the breather because he played in two signature events. Yeah, I like the breather, Dave. I was pleased with that because he's had some back problems not that long ago. I really like the breather. If I made that point, I like the breather, Dave. I really like the breather.
Okay, right. Third pick then for this golf tournament.
Rasmus Hogger, who, like Coody, will see this as a wonderful opportunity for a maiden PGA Tour title. Everything but his chipping has been sharp this season. He's got the power to overwhelm Craig Ranch. He carded three good rounds in the Byron Nelson last year on his debut. Closed with a 75. It didn't matter because Scheffler was away and gone. But I've seen some really encouraging stuff from Hoggard lately. Five-time DP World Tour champion. European Ryder Cupper. I think he'll threaten a maiden PGA Tour title this week.
Short and sweet. He's the third pick. Who's fourth selection?
Taylor Pendrith, who won this in 2024. The highlight of his career came in the 2024 Byron Nelson. He was second in a Korn Ferry Tour event in Texas in 2020. He was fifth in the Houston Open last year. Loves his trips to Texas. There have been signs lately that he's ready to light up the Lone Star State again. Putter's been a bugbear for him this season, but he gained more than three strokes on the greens in the USPGA last week. His driving was a thing of beauty, as it often is. There's been flashes of the old Pendrith lately, Dave, in high-class events. I think in a low-grade affair this week, you take Scheffler out of this, you know, the field thins really quickly. I think Taylor Pendrith well capable of getting in the mix.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I did think that. If Scottie Scheffler's not to win this golf tournament, if that makes sense, it's wide open, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's 12 the field without him. Some firms will do better without Scottie Scheffler as well, which is a market you should have a little butcher at. But yeah, if you can make a case for Scottie Scheffler to get beat here, it's wide open.
Yeah, and we've got loads of places to gun at. You know, get as many places as you can. You're getting big prices about players to... the each-way terms are attractive.
Yeah, we like just the place money alone on a few of these picks is beautiful. Right, two more to come then. Who's pick number five?
Bo Hustler. Born in California, but he went to the University of Texas. He's lived in Austin ever since. He's one of the brightest young talents in stateside golf when he first started out. And, you know, as a teenager, this was a huge prospect. Superstardom seemed destined for superstardom. It hasn't happened yet, Dave, but he's still only 31. You know, maybe things would have turned out differently for Bo Hostler had he won the playoff in the 2018 Houston Open. You might remember that one. Ian Poulter won that one. Ian Poulter won the 2018 Houston Open, beating his chest like a wild man afterwards. You know, Bo Hostler devastated by that defeat. So close to winning in Texas 8 years ago. I think Hostler still has time to turn it around. You know, he's 30.
I think he might have gotten over it by
then. No, I mean, he's 31 now, Dave. I mean, as I say, always seemed destined for superstardom. How old are you, Dave? 31, you've still got time to become a superstar. How old are you, Dave?
No, I'm beyond 31. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I don't think you've got time to become a superstar. No. But I think
my window of opportunity has passed, I think, yeah.
Bo Hostler still has time, but he needs to start winning soon. I mean, he's a four-time PGA Tour runner-up, Dave. He's twice finished third. He's finished fourth three times. And he needs to use Cameron Young as inspiration. Cameron Young finished second a million times before becoming, he's world number three now. Yeah. The glory may come for Hostler in the same way it's come for Cameron Young. Two of the near misses for Hostler have come in Texas. He was fourth in the 2022 Texas Open. And I was just encouraged enough by last time out. Myrtle Beach Classic, which now is massively, massively good form.
Well, Aaron Rye finished fifth there, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron Rye finished fifth. Bo Hostler finished third. So, yeah. So, yeah, we respect the Myrtle Beach Classic form more than ever. Hoss is a runner at a juicy price.
Outside of that third place finish, what else has he been getting up to? Has there been other encouraging signs?
He's very inconsistent. Yeah, he's a fantastic putter. Yeah, both of my outsiders this week, I've got two big price outsiders, Hostler and the one we're coming to. They're both amazing putters. And it's going to be a low scoring event this week. Yeah, the Hostler putter can turn into a magic wand. He's a very streaky player. Goes from the sublime to the ridiculous. Let's hope it's the sublime Hostler we get this week.
Well, yeah, 90 is out there about Bo Hostler. I like the Myrtle Beach line of form. I'm the same as you. So I like that one, Steve. Big price, as you say. Get as many places as possible there. Final selection then. Is that what we're saying?
One to go at even bigger price. Carl Phillips, a 24-year-old. You know I love him. One on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2024, one on the PGA Tour last year, 49th on his Byron Nelson debut last season. He was 11th at Colonial last year, 19th in Houston in March, 24th in the Myrtle last time out. We respect the Myrtle form. This is an improving youngster going off at a disrespectful price for me. As I say, great putter. You have Hostler and Phillips, both putting really, really well. You're going to need to do that this week, I feel.
And if he were to win, You'd get a lovely warm feeling inside today, wouldn't you? Because he's one of your favourites at big prices.
Yeah, I would get a lovely warm feeling. I mean, yeah, I'm hoping, I feel like it's almost inevitable I'm going to get a horrible warm feeling soon, because every other member of my family...
The temperature's going to come up, yeah.
Every other member of my family has been really ill in the last 7 days. It does seem almost inevitable I'm next in line. I mean, the USPGA weekend was absolutely brutal, Dave. I mean, there was a classic contest going on between Tommy Tiger and Michael Thorbjornsson. You know, Tommy Tiger's temperature against Michael Thorbjornsson's 9-hole totals in the USPGA. Tommy Tiger reached 41°C at one point, and Michael Thorbjornsson's getting about 40 on his front nine in the USPGA Championship. It was a tough USPGA, but we live and learn.
Listen, you've been in good form. As I keep saying to you, you cannot find the winner of a golf tournament every single week. Golf tipping, golf punting is hard, but you've had a brilliant few weeks. So we're going to carry the momentum into this week.
Yeah. Well, Michael Thorbjornsson is playing, Dave. Michael Thorbjornsson is playing this week.
I know, I've seen.
I am concerned, but I just can't forgive him from what he did last week.
I can't have him, Steve. Let him win. Just let him win.
Yeah, I think he'll play well this week. I've got a horrible feeling he'll play well this week. But yeah, we can't have more. I'm really happy with my six. I like the eight-pronged attack we got here.
Right, let me ask you about the jolly then. Yes. The defending champion, Scotty Scheffler, is not in your six. There is no 2-1 anywhere. In the village, he is shorter than 2-1 with every single bookmaker. I think 9-5 is the biggest you'll find. You might get, you know, nearer the off 2-1 somewhere with someone, but he's not for you.
No, I mean, as you say, these prices, it's like he's in trap one. He's the best dog in the race and he's got 5 to beat, but he's got a lot more than 5 to beat this week, Dave. And yeah, there's a lot of lively players in this. Yeah, I just think the price, yeah, you've got to be a huge Scheffler fan to play at this price, because he's going to have to putt well. And yeah, I do think his putting will improve on these greens, you know, on more familiar putting surfaces. Yeah, three of the five Byron Nelson winners at this course, so we've had five editions at Craig Ranch, three of those have finished in the top two of the putting average statistics. So you have to putt well to win this. And Scheffler's putting has been so ugly lately. It's a low scoring track. And I don't like backing Scheffler on easy golf courses, Dave, because, you know, I like backing him on tough courses, which sort the men.
Yeah, when you're elite, let it show. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You want, you know, sort the men from the boys. Is this a course that he can, you know, really separate himself from? He did last year because he putted so well. But yeah, I want courses where he can assert his superiority because it's difficult. TPC Craig Ranch is a great leveler, in my opinion. You know, Dave Clark could make a load of birdies at TPC Craig Ranch. And, you know, that's saying something, isn't it, Dave? Yeah, I think the track's a great leveler. And, yeah, if you're taking greyhound-like prices about the favourite this week, then, I think you've got to question what you're in the game for.
We need to get back on some sort of simulator in a bay somewhere on a course, and I can paste you on camera.
Will. So you say beware the injured golfer, but if the injured golfer can't actually hold the club, then you don't need to beware him, do you? Yeah, yeah, that'll be an interesting tussle. I'd need about 100 shots done.
Right, one player I wanted to ask you about, Steve, who's been quite well backed already this week, is Brooks Koepka.
Oh, my God, he hit it well, didn't he? And he started off it, and it's so... I mean, he's just hit it, yeah. The start of the USPGA is the same with Ludwig Aubert. We had this chat last week. Ludwig Aubert and Brooks Koepka, they just need a warming of the putter. And then he got pretty frustrated over the weekend. You know, he had like six putters on the go in practice, trying to find one he liked. Yeah. And didn't succeed. Again, you need to putt well to win this week, I think. And that's why I can't play Koepka in this event. I'm much more interested on a tough golf course. I mean, Shinnecock's coming up for the US Open. Yeah, Brooks Koepka will have to be in our calculations for that.
Okay, anything else to add?
No, sir. No, sir.
Right, other than dodging germs, what you got coming up, Steve? What's going on in the world of darts? I know you've got your finger on the pulse there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had Jermaine Watamini that's 40-1 in the Players' Championship. Got to the final, beaten by Luke Humphries. Humphries played really well yesterday. So there's another Players' Championship today. Josh Rock, I believe, is almost confirmed to finish bottom of the Premier League.
That's taken over your life, that bet.
Yeah, I know. It has been a long-running affair. I think he can still
never been in any danger either, but you've been stressing about it.
Well, I think if he wins the final night, we've got the final night on Thursday, if he wins every match 6-0 and Stephen Bunting loses 6-0, I think it's still mathematically possible.
Yeah. There's every chance of that, then, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah. So
there's more chance of West Ham survival than anything else. I can assure you of that.
Yeah, how many games you got left? Just one now, is it?
Just one, yeah.
Just one, yeah. So,
all over.
It's all over. Yeah, I'm sorry, Dave.
Lincoln away. My mate just keeps texting me, Lincoln away, ole, ole. So that's what's coming.
Yeah. When you start looking at the teams you're going to play in the league below, it is quite heartbreaking, isn't it? So you got Lincoln. I got Mousehole away.
We're just going to have to start AFC clearing Mousehole. The Tuesday nights, I think, because there's a lot of championship games played on Tuesday nights now. So.
Oh, is that it? Yeah. Oh, you'll have a busy day then, won't you? Sweet spot in the morning and then... And then West Ham.
Yeah, like I might have to do sweet spot on the move if I'm heading all over the country, yeah.
This is it. No, I'm sorry, Dave. Yeah, football's challenging. But be inspired. Be inspired by Aaron Rye. Be inspired that you can still become a superstar, okay?
Okay, I believe that. Right, before we do a roundup of the selections, I want you to give me your strongest pick on the golf this week. Occasionally, I like to ask you that, much to the anger of some of the sweet spotters. But why not? You know, if you're only going to have one bet on the golf this week, who would it be?
Yeah, if you're only going to have one bet, you have to back Jordan Spieth, don't you? I think Jordan Spieth, he's well up for this. Every department of his game has been showing signs of being in great order. He said he hit it better than he's ever hit it at the Masters a month ago. I can't live in a world where Jordan Spieth is not part of it, Dave. I believe he's going to confirm that this week that he's going to remain part of it for the rest of my life.
Okay, very moving. Okay, reminder that our friends at SBK are doing 20% winnings boost on both golf tournaments this week. So if you want to be playing Jordan Spieth, you get a nice Brucey bonus 20% on top. Let's have a roundup then. Pseudo Open, who are we going for, Steve?
Eddie Pepperell, Darius Vandril.
And the Byron Nelson.
Jordan Spieth, Pearson Coody, Rasmus Hogger, Taylor Pendrith, Bo Hostler and Carl Phillips.
Marvellous stuff. This has been The Sweet Spot. We will see you next week. Enjoy the golf and gamble responsibly.